Morning. I'd like to call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is Tuesday, April the 5th, 2022, and the time is exactly 9:03. We've got that maneuver down real good, 9:03. Please turn off all cell phones. Present today are Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski, Senator Wilson, Senator Hoffman, and myself, Senator Bishop. We have a full staff and a full agenda. So first thing up this morning is SB 173, dentist license and radiological equipment. Second item up will be Senate Bill 193, extend the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. Third thing up is SB 204, hunting permit tag, auction raffles, HB 85, financial institutions liability. SB 98, adult foster care for the disabled, and SB 99, permanent fund dividend. So we will be taking a brief at ease at the end of each action item here this morning, and as we've got some paperwork moving around between myself and staff. So today, up, number one, SB 173, dentist specialty license radiological equipment. This is the third hearing for Senate Bill 173. We've opened and closed public testimony on February 24th. Our intention is to hear a quick bill reintroduction, cover fiscal note, and look to the will of the committee. Senator Wilson, brief reintroduction.
Oh, yes, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 173, again, just transfers the inspections of dental radiological equipment from the Board of Dental Examiners to the Department of Health and establishes a specialty license is the gist of the bill.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? Seeing none, Senator Wilson, will you cover the fiscal note?
Yes, Mr. Chair. First fiscal note, OMB component 242, Department of Health, appropriation healthcare services, allocation Medicaid, assistant administration, FY23, in total UGF will be 95 and 92.5 in outgoing years. This legislation is expected to have an impact on Medicaid provider enrollment. This additional scope cannot be absorbed by the current staff and reflects anticipation of one part-time permanent Medicaid specialist 2 position located in Anchorage, with the commodities and one-time commodity cost for computer equipment.
Senator Wilson.
And the other component.
Can I just speak to 242 for a minute? I believe you said it was 95. And then 92 in the out years, UGF. Didn't that a split between Fed and UGF,
yes.
Sir?
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. It's a 47.5 Fed receipts and 47.5 and match UGF. And then outgoing years, it will be 46.2 in Fed receipts and 42.6 in UGF costs.
Thank you. Please continue.
The next note, Mr. Chair, is OMB component 2252 from the Department of Health, appropriation public health, and allocation public health laboratories, and the operating cost of the match UGF of 193.2 and outgoing years 224.2. And this bill will transfer the responsibilities of registration and certification of dental radiological devices from the Board of Dentistry Examiners to the Department of Health effective July 1st of 2023. And this would allow the department needed to propagate the regulations and responsible for the inspections carried out with the single radiologist health person they have currently in the department.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Wilson, I have a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the Senate Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 173-32-LS0865/W from committee with attached physical notes and individual committee recommendations.
Thank you. Seeing no objections, the bill moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease. Next up is SB 193, extend the Board of Chiropractic Examiners. This is the second hearing for SB 193. We opened and closed public testimony on March 30th. Our intention is to consider a CS, cover physical notes, and look to the will of the committee. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Finance Committee adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill 193, version 32-LS1486-G, as our working document.
I'll object. Ms. Schein, would you join us?
Good morning. For the record, I am Erin Schein, staff to Co-Chair Bishop in the Senate Finance Committee. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there is one change in the CS from the previous CS, and that is found on page 1, line 6, and it amends the sunset date for the Board of Chiropractic Examiners from June 30th, 2024 to June 30th, 2027, and this date coincides with the recommendation from the legislative auditor.
Okay, I'm going to remove my objection if there's no further objections. Any other questions? We do have some folks here available for questions. Seeing none.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I do have a question.
Senator Olson.
What was the reason that the earlier date was in place in the first place?
Ms. Schein.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, that was the date that the Labor and Commerce Committee had amended. The bill that was introduced was this date, was the 5-year sunset date. The previous committee recommended the 2-year sunset. As to the reason why, I believe that there were some concerns with licensing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No further questions.
Thank you. All right. Seeing no further questions, Senator Wilson, could you cover the fiscal note?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This is OMB component 2360 from Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Allocation Appropriations, Corporation Businesses and Professional Licensing. FY 23 and FY 24 has a total of $21,800. This is DGF or receipts from the licensees, and this will continue to allow them to continue their travel and services and continue their board capabilities in those outgoing years.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, Senator Stedman, may I have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move this Senate Finance Committee move the substitute for House Bill 193, version 32-LS1486-G, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. Seeing no objections, the bill moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease. Good morning. All right, we're back on the record. Senate Bill 204, Hunting Permit Tag, Auctions and Raffles. This is the second hearing for SB 204. We've opened and closed public testimony. Our intention is to hear a quick bill of reintroduction. Ms. Torkelson, would you bring your come up to the committee and give us a brief reintroduction. We also have Mr. Grazer from Director of Wildlife Conservation online for questions.
Thank you, Co-Chair Bishop and members of the Senate Finance Committee. For the record, Emma Torkelson, staff to Senator Rebeck. SB 204 moderately increases the harvest permits available for auction and raffle to leverage additional Pittman-Robertson grant funds and give the Department of Fish and Game and Alaska Charities the ability to better contribute to wildlife protection and wildlife conservation programs around the state. Thank you. Thank
you. Any questions? Seeing none, Senator Wilson, cover the fiscal note, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair. OMB component 473, Department of Fish and Game, allocation appropriation, wildlife conservation, zero fiscal note with a change of revenue be indeterminate. These changes, according to the department, would not burden the department. However, future revenues are expected to fluctuate year to year. Therefore, the department submits a zero fiscal note with the indeterminate revenue.
Thank you. Senator Von Imhoff, may I have a motion, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 53, Resources 32-LS1391/W from committee with the attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Thank you. Seeing no objections, the bill moves from committee. I'll take a brief at ease. So back on the record.
Okay, well, I have to get the right, I have to make sure the...
Retracted, right?
Yes. Okay, let me go read it.
Version W.
So this is, I'd like to retract the motion I just made because it was the wrong bill. And so the correct bill, if you could do a brief, could you do an at ease, sir,
brief
please?
Was that your bill?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The previous motion that I just passed was the wrong bill number, so I'd like to, the new correct motion is, I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 204, Resources, 32-LS1391/W, from committee with the attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Seeing no objections, the bill moves from committee. And please sign the document. We'll take a brief at ease. Okay, thanks for everyone's patience. We're back on the record. HB 85, Financial Institutions and Liability. This is the second hearing for House Bill 85. We've opened and closed public testimony. Our intention is to hear a bill reintroduction, cover fiscal notes, and look to the Whitley Committee. Representative LeBon, would you please join us at the table with Mr. Burns and give us a reintroduction, and we'll go from there. And we
thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, committee members, for hearing HB 85. I'm Representative Bart LeBon. I represent downtown Fairbanks, House District 1. As the committee is aware, House Bill 85 updates several aspects of Alaska's outdated banking statutes found in Title VI. In summary, the bill broadly attempts to bring regulatory parity between national charter banks and state charter banks, as well as increase regulatory efficiency. It has the support of the Alaska Bankers Association and was introduced in collaboration with the State Division of Banking and Securities. In your packets should be a memo with responses to questions that arose in our last hearing, so you have that current information. My staff, Joe Burns, and I are here along with members of the Alaska Bankers Association. I believe, Mr. Chairman, you have several folks on the line to help answer any questions, should you have any. And again, I would just like to thank the committee for once again hearing House Bill 85.
Thank you. We have questions from committee members? Seeing none, I'm going to cover the fiscal notes. So first fiscal note is to DEC, spill prevention and response, and the allocation is to the same, spill prevention and response, OMB component 3094. It's a zero fiscal note. It just on the back of the fiscal note, it does say that it's just unclear how many current or future contaminated sites may have no other party able to cover the department's cost of overseeing or conducting a response or remediation. Second fiscal note is Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. Appropriation is banking and securities. Allocation is banking and securities. OMB component number is 2808. That is also a zero fiscal note. Says here on the fiscal note on the analyses at HB 85 adjusts the statutory requirements for the state and mutual savings banks to modernize the state's banking laws, and changes to regs will be required but will be combined with planned regulation projects. Our third fiscal note is our Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, Appropriation, Businesses and Professional Licensing. Allocation is to the same. OMB component number is 2360. That's a zero fiscal note. And it says that the corporations, businesses, and professional licensing does not expect fiscal impact from this legislation. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 85, Labor and Commerce 32LS0371-W from committee, with the attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
Thank you. Seeing no objections, the bill moves from committee. Brief at ease. Okay, we're back on the record. This is the first hearing of SB 98, Adult Foster Care for the Disabled, of this session. However, we've heard this bill in open and closed public testimony on April 7th, 2021. Our intention is to consider a CS, hear a bill reintroduction, and then set this bill aside. Senators Dittman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Finance Committee adopt the committee substitute for House Bill 98, Finance 32-GS1708G, before the committee as our working document.
Thank you, and I'll object for discussion, Ms. Shine.
Good morning again. For the record, Aaron Shine, staff to Co-Chair Bishop in the Senate Finance Committee. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this version G is taking a little bit of different approach to what was brought to the committee in version A. So it removes adult foster home and adds adult home care, which extends opportunities for participation beyond individuals who are aging out of foster care to include other adults with disabilities. It also adds a new service and a license placement type of adult home care in the CS for adults with disabilities and seniors. And it changes the Department of Health and Social Services to the Department of Health, wherever it was identified in the bill because of the executive order that passed. And then it also adds an effective date of July 1st, 2022 to coincide with the effective date of the executive order 121.
Thank you. We have questions on the CS. Any objections to adopting the CS? Seeing none, the CS is adopted. Take just a brief at ease. Okay, we're back on the record. Next is, I've got it there, Mr. John Lee, Director of Senior Disability Services in Palmer. Can you hear us?
For the record, my name is John Lee. I'm the Director of Senior and Disability Services. Yes, sir, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, could you please you've put yourself on the record. Could you please do an introduction and walk us through the bill?
Yes, thank you. And again, for the record, I am John Lee, the Director of Senior and Disability Services. And thank you, Chair Bishop and members of the Senate Finance Committee, for bringing Senate Bill 98 back up for reconsideration or for consideration. And thanks especially to Senator Bishop's office for working with us to amend this bill in ways that we believe will help transform and strengthen the home and community-based service systems and supports for our most vulnerable population. It is due to the excellent questions that arose in this very committee last year that prompted us to look at this bill over the interim and see what we could do to increase its reach to more Alaskan seniors, individuals with disabilities, and communities which they live. One very specific question prompted this reexamination. Could the service we were calling adult foster care and the settings in which they occur be something that could benefit others besides those aging out of the foster care system? We reached out in the interim to our stakeholders and asked them this very same question, and they responded with an enthusiastic yes. From our stakeholders, we learned that expanding this service to include others would create more options for individuals to remain in home and community-based settings, be less expensive than the most frequent used residential habilitation services, which we call group home settings, have a less demanding workforce expectation. It wouldn't require assisted living home licensure, and it wouldn't require specific staffing that those license types requires. Rather, it would be open to providers who would meet expectations to provide care and support in a home-like setting. Then we would need to work this up through regulations, but our intent is to mirror the child foster care parent settings. And we're confident that we could create a setting that would be very advantageous to serve this population. It would provide an option to enable many individuals, especially seniors, to remain in their local communities rather than needing to travel to the larger urban areas where the assisted living homes typically are, and typically where the nursing homes are. So this is a great option to keep people in their communities. And lastly, be a valued option in our rural areas and small villages, creating a small economic opportunity for those in those communities who would like to establish themselves as a provider of this new service. Amending this bill would result in no more additional costs than keeping the bill as is. The individuals who would be served are already receiving other types of services. This new adult foster care service, which we are now calling adult home care, would be less expensive than some services, but potentially more expensive than other types of settings. And aside from the new additional staff needed to implement and monitor this new service, the original legislation and the proposal to amend the bill both are cost neutral. The fiscal note calling for more Medicaid spending has been recalculated to zero because research conducted by the department over the interim indicated that savings from this bill will offset any cost incurred. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have. I have a couple members of my team that are here to assist me with any questions. And if you would like, I could have my deputy director, Tony Newman, do the sectional.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Newman, you want to just cover a brief sectional again? Because it's been a year since we heard this.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Bishop. Sure. This is Anthony Newman with the Division of Senior and Disability Services, and I can run through the sectional for version G quickly. Section 1 adds a new section to AS 4707, the Medicaid statute, to create a new program called Adult Home Care Services for Individuals. This will be available to individuals at least 18 years of age or older who are enrolled in a home and community-based waiver. And the Department of Health will develop regulations establishing the standards and rates of the program and provide an efficient process to allow existing child foster homes to transition to the new adult home care license. Section 2 amends AS 4732010B to add the new setting, adult home care homes, that shall be subject to the centralized licensing functions of the Department of Health. Section 3 adds a new section to AS 4732 defining the conditions under which the department may license an adult home care home. A person may be licensed to operate such a home for up to two persons age 18 or older enrolled in home and community-based waiver services. And the section requires the department to streamline the application process necessary for the person to be approved as an adult home care home provider and requires the department approve variances of building home requirements to the extent permitted by state, local, or federal law. Section 4 amends uncodified law by adding a new section requiring the Department of Health to submit for approval to the United States Department of Health and Human Services amendments as necessary to waivers to allow individuals to receive adult home care services. Section 5 amends uncodified law, adding a new section related to the conditional effect of Section 4 and required state plan amendments submitted to the United States Department of Health and Human Services. Section 6 is the effective date, and Section 6 is an effective date related to the requirement for the department to provide notification of the reviser of statutes, and Section 7 provides for July 1st, 2022 effective date. Thank you, Chair Bishop.
Thank you for that sectional. Any questions from any of the committee before we go to invited testimony? We do have two invited testifiers. And I would like to invite Lizette Steyer, Alaska Association of Developmental Disabilities. If you can hear us, could you put yourself on the record? And if you can keep your testimony to a couple of minutes or so, it'd be great.
Certainly, Chair Bishop. My name is Lizette Steyer, and I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Association on Developmental Disabilities, known as AADD.
Thank you. We can hear you. Please continue.
Wonderful. I have to say I'm extremely grateful for whoever on the committee last year asked the question about could this bill be expanded to serve further people. We had asked exactly the same question when I first heard about this bill. I was tremendously excited because currently the kinds of homes that are allowed to provide services must meet the same licensing restrictions that apply to group homes and assisted living homes. And we strongly support and believe in a shared vision, which is part of a state statute that says that we believe in a flexible system that supports people toward having meaningful lives and choice. This expands the choice for people who experience developmental disabilities for living options. I love the fact that it would allow foster children to remain in the same home, which initiated the idea of this bill. But I'm also very pleased that it has been expanded to include other individuals who experience developmental disabilities as it gives them wider choices. We thank you very much for the work that's been done on this bill, and we really appreciate feeling heard. Thank you, Chair Bishop and committee.
Thank you for your testimony. Now we'll go to, I believe it's Michelle. I'm not even going to attempt it. Executive Director of Hope Community and Resources, and please put yourself on the record. I don't want to butcher your last name.
Thank you, Chairman Bishop and members of the committee. My name is Michelle Giroux, and I'm the president of the board of the Key Coalition of Alaska, as well as the executive director of Hope Community Resources, which is a nonprofit based in Anchorage, serving Alaskans with intellectual and developmental disabilities across the state. On behalf of the Key Coalition and Hope Community Resources, I am speaking in favor of SB 98. This bill, as Lizette just mentioned, aligns with the DD Shared Vision, which is in statute, and it creates greater flexibility for those providing services to youth with disabilities and enhanced support for those in their care. Currently, a family providing services to a minor with disabilities is licensed as a children's foster home. When that youth turns 18, the family has a couple of options. They can change their license to an adult assisted living home, which has more administrative burden, dually license their home as both a children's foster and adult assisted living, which is, again, more administrative burden, or, as we have often seen, have the child transition out of the home, which changes stability and security for that child. This bill would simplify the process, allowing the family to transition from a child license to an adult home care license, with the likely outcome of more youth being able to stay in the same home, enhancing consistency and continuity of care, and mirroring the support path of typically developing peers. Most kids at 18 are still hanging pretty close to their parents, and this bill would enable youth with disabilities to still have that continuity of care. Youth with disabilities also have options to stay in the public school system until 20, so this bill supports favorably youth with disabilities as well as those who support them, and we urge you to support it. The expanded outreach of this bill to support additional adults, this option will also have benefits for those with disabilities and those choosing to provide care for them. So it's a win-win for all, and we encourage you to support the bill. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for your testimony. Is there any further committee discussion this morning? Senator Wilikowski.
I have a question for the department. My understanding is the statute for long-term care ombudsman only includes authority for homes over people over 60, and should that statute be amended in this bill to include these homes?
This is Director John Lee, and through the chair, thank you very much for that question. Some of my team members could help out with that. I think that's an interesting question. I don't think that we would need to do that, but like to see whether or not if we could call on Glenn Common Cruz or Craig Baxter potentially to answer that question.
So, Mr. Newman or Mr. Baxter, or anybody else from DHSS, did you hear Senator Wilikowski's question? And can you answer it definitively? And if not, then would you get back to the committee with a written answer?
This is Chris Baxter.
Go ahead.
This is Craig Baxter, Program Manager of the Residential Licensing Healthcare Services. Through the chair, I don't believe that it would need to be amended. Right now, they're able to go into any facility that houses anyone over 60. They don't have to specifically be licensed over 60 as long as they're serving an individual over 60, and that also applies to individuals with developmental mental health disabilities. It might be beneficial just to reach out to Stephanie Wheeler, who oversees the long-term care ombudsman, just to double check. But I highly doubt that that we would need to amend this to include that component.
Mr. Lee, I would suggest that you get us a written response to Senator Wilikowski's question before we have the bill up again.
To the chair, this is Director John Lee. I will certainly do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Stedman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just got a general concern. I know we haven't gone over the fiscal notes yet, but looking at the fiscal notes, it looks like with the Medicaid services appropriation allocation, it's going to increase at $168,000 a year in costs. And I'm just curious, I'd like to hear from the department on how they plan on capping this so it doesn't continually escalated $68,000 a year. It just seems kind of odd because our population is running virtually horizontal or slightly decreasing across the state. So why is the projection a linear increase year after year after year? Because we are having problems and challenges with the whole health and social services area of the state trying to control the costs over the last decade and a half.
Mr. Lee? Or
through the chair, this is Director John Lee. Maybe looking at the old fiscal note, the new fiscal note, the Medicaid services is zeroed out. We're not projecting any cost increase through our Medicaid services with our new fiscal note.
Brief at ease. Back on the record, Mr. Lee, do you anticipate forthcoming updated fiscal notes to the CS?
To the chair, yes, we could definitely provide that.
Thank you. Senator Stedman?
Yeah, because I was going to say the ones I have in front of me are dated, you know, a year ago, mm-hmm. In March 21, but that's what we have in front of us. So I'd like to see updated fiscal notes and am concerned about the growth of that department, along with corrections also, as areas that we're having challenges with in the state.
Thank you. Any further questions before we set the bill aside? Senator Von Imhoff.
This is the age-old conundrum that we face with a lot of bills in front of us, particularly social service bills. On one hand, there is a growth of the department with this. On the other hand, what are the alternatives? And sometimes by paying for things like this, it's humane, and it's also upfront costs will save more costs in the future, whether it be dealing with incarceration or homelessness or something along the line, or more mental health issues. This puts people in stable homes in a continuum. I am looking forward to the updated fiscal note, but these are conundrums that, by simply saying I worry about the cost of the department, while that's true, I think we should also debate what the cost would be if we don't do it.
Any further committee discussion this morning before we set the bill aside? Thank you. We'll set this bill aside, take a brief at ease.
billions.
Okay, back on the record. We have SB 199 before us this morning, permanent fund dividend. This is the second hearing for SB 199. My intention is to consider a committee substitute. Senator Stedman, do you have one for introduction? A motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Finance Committee adopt a committee substitute for Senate Bill 199, Finance 32-LS1529-G, before the committee as our working document.
And I'll object for purposes. Timeout. At ease. Good morning. Senator Stedman, would you please restate the motion?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I misspoke on the version, so let me restate that motion so we have the correct document in front of us. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Finance Committee adopt a committee substitute for Senate Bill 199, Finance 32-LS1529-I, before the committee is our working document.
Thank you. And I'll object for conversation and discussion. Ms. Shine.
Good morning again. For the record, I am Erin Shine, staff to Co-Chair Bishop in the Senate Finance Committee. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, version I takes a different approach to paying a permanent fund dividend. The previous version had an escalating step up to a 50-50 or possible 50-50. That was previously in version A, an $1,100 PFD in fiscal year 23, a $1,200 fiscal year or PFD in fiscal year 24, a $1,300 fiscal PFD in fiscal year 25, and then 13 with inflation after fiscal year 26 and beyond. However, there was a trigger if the legislature adopted $700 million. In new revenue that it would trigger a 50-50 PFD. This version, version I before you, takes a similar approach but a different permanent fund dividend payout. So you see in section 3, it amends the appropriation for a permanent fund dividend to a 50-50 PFD in fiscal year 23. And then in fiscal year 24 and beyond, it would amend to be a 25% of the percent of market value dividend and then 75% to the general fund. However, in section 5, you will see it also amends 3713145B. As you see in each section in 3, 4, and 5, they're all amending the same section of law. This would be the conditional effect language, and that is in section 11, which would require $800 million in new revenues as compared to June 30th of 2022. And that would be by December 15th of 2026. If that were to take place, then in fiscal year 28 and beyond, a permanent fund dividend of 50-50 of the percent of market value would be paid. And Mr. Chairman, there were some technical and conforming amendments that were made in the two different CSs. And I can go through those if you'd like, but they are all very technical just to make sure that the language conforms to a Supreme Court case and make sure that this version is sound going forward.
Thank you. Any further objections to adopting the CS as our working document? Seeing none, the CS version I before us is adopted as our working document. Okay, committee conversation, discussion. We are, Senator Stedman.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I assume that you've requested some updated analysis to be done and brought before the committee.
I was just going there, but keep going. You're doing a hell of a job.
No, I was just. Go ahead.
We have an ability to read each other's mind most of the time, but we have updated fiscal analyses that's being ran. That'll be brought before the committee just as soon as it's ready. I've been told that it can be done in a timely fashion, so expect to see this bill up here soon. And so we'll have that updated analysis run by Ledge Finance. And if any other discussion, we can set the bill aside and wait for the fiscal analyses to come. And you can have the conversation then, or you can have it now, but it looks like we're having some of it now. So Senator Wilson, or Senator Olson was first, then Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so the public is aware, what happens if the $800 million of new revenue does not materialize under this current bill, the new CS?
Could you repeat that again? What happens at the year? Did you say what happens in the year 28 if the $800 million does not materialize?
Exactly.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Then it stays at 25% payout.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilson.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Just an explanation of why the change from 700 to 800 in this new version.
Yeah. Because that was the analyses that we saw about two months ago. So that could change tomorrow, or it could go up. Depends. That's why we're wanting to see updated analysis. And it hit within 25 million of the working group's number from last year. I'd just like to put that on the record too, on the high end. Senator Stedman.
Just for added information, you know, we're working on the operating budget. We're going to come out with a new CS here shortly, the next couple of days. And in that, the analysis from Ledge Finance will also be updated. I think the expectation of the budgetary increase this year that the other body is on the floor now, and it might go down or it might go up, is roughly a 5% increase in 1 year. And we've got escalating inflation issues, so there is a refreshing of the numbers. So a lot of the current numerics will be here very quickly on the operating budget, which will tie into the updated calculations on this also.
Senator Hoffman, and then back to Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The back end of this funding, the dividend at a 50-50, is quite similar to what the governor had introduced last year, I believe. But is it the intent of the chairman, the operating chairman, and the capital chairman to pay for this dividend through a fiscal note?
Senator Stedman?
I think that would most likely be a good idea. But I think the committee, you know, will work through that process, but I think so, with a fiscal note. So that is, you know, yet to be determined, but yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilson, a follow-up, sir?
Yeah, just wondering if the committee would also be taking other models, or can we submit other simulation runs to be presented next time this bill is before us?
Are you asking me, can we have different scenarios ran?
Yes.
I don't see why not.
Thank
we
you.
Would encourage that. Thank you. Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the concern that we see from Alaskans is they want stability, they want predictability on what the dividend will be. And my concern with this bill is the language which says the legislature may appropriate the funds, and absent a constitutional amendment, Alaskans cannot get the predictability and stability that they want in payment of the dividend. And so I think with this bill put Alaskans in the situation where a future legislature could simply choose to ignore this language and could pay out 10%, 5%, 0% of what this statute calls for. And so it does not provide the stability, the predictability on the dividend, unfortunately. There are bills out there that have a constitutional payment of a dividend, and I think that's what Alaskans want. I think they want that stability and predictability, and unfortunately this bill does not provide that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments this morning? Seeing none, we'll set this bill aside. Our next meeting is this afternoon at 1 p.m. On the agenda, we have two RIK approvals for Royalty Oil, for PetroStar contract to approve, a Marathon Petroleum Royalty Oil contract to approve, and we are adjourned until 1 p.m. Thank you all for this morning.